Welcome back, listeners. My name is Jackson Vickery, and I am the host and producer of the JV Club podcast. On this episode, I spoke to Emmy-nominated composer Marcelo Zarvos, whose latest work can be heard in Todd Haynes' newest film, May-December. The film stars Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore, and Charles Melton.
Happy to be speaking with you because after seeing May December, I immediately had to send you an email because I was so transfixed by that score and by, I mean, just the entire film itself. But I mean, the layers in that is, I mean, it was just unreal. Such a wonderful thing to experience in a theater with so many people, and it was just
it was very special. You were at the New York Film Festival, right? At that screening of the New York Film Festival is where you saw it?
I was, yeah. I was a press and industry screening, and everyone just went, I mean, like they were just like eating out of the palm of Julianne and Natalie's hands. It was so much fun and just such a riot to watch, even though it's such an interesting subject matter to put on film.
Sure.
But so nice to meet you. And I really just wanted to start out by asking you, who were some of your earliest influences when it came to composition and music in general?
Well, I fell in love with music through a lot of film scores, and I would say, you know, scores from the 70s and 80s when I was growing up. You know, I think a lot of film composers at that time, I liked in particular the electronic ones. I love like Vangelis and people that were doing some of the Ridley Scott movies and also I'm from Brazil, so the Brazilian music, obviously Brazil is a very musical country, and the music of Brazil is very, very important to me as well. And then, you know, classical music, the classics, Bach and Beethoven and all of that, and as well. And my influences have always been a very eclectic bag of composers of both film and non-film. I would say classical, jazz, pop. I've been pretty omnivorous when it comes to my influences.
Mm. Well, I mean, just talking about your 2023, I mean, the amount of films you've had and sort of the wide range of scope with Flaming Hot and The Equalizer 3 and Cassandra. I mean, it's just, it ranges all over the place. So I can see where sort of all of those just tie in from your early influences, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and this, I mean, this is a particularly, 23 was definitely kind of like accumulation of a lot of different types of scores that I had done, and that all kind of came together. Not all of them were, you know, both Flaming Hot was done even the year before last year, you know, so it was, there was, some of these were in the can for a while, you know,
yeah.
So but they all came together. But I would say that what I was very excited is, like you said, the variety of projects, also quite a few projects dealing with, you know, underrepresented groups, you know, in film. I would say certainly the Latin, you know, vibe of Cassandra and Flaming Hot. Of course, I've been collaborating with Antoine Foucault for a long time now. We did Equalizer, we had that Emancipation last year, and that's been a really fruitful experience. And Todd Haynes, I did his last film, Dark Waters, that came out in, it was like 5 years ago now. It's kind of amazing how long it's been. But
yeah.
But I'm such a fan of his, you know, that kind of, and when the opportunity came for me to work with him the first time on Dark Waters, I was all over it. When May December came, It's a very unusual thing because I'm assuming you kind of understood that the music was adapted, a large part of the score was adapted from a previous score by Michel Legrand. That so it was a very different task in this one, which was using about two-thirds of it is pre-existing music. It's something I had never done. And of course, we did a lot of changes to it, and I adapted and put my hand, plus I wrote a fair amount of original music to it too, but it was a very different experience to do that, you know, and a very fruitful because the film is incredible, and Todd is an incredible director, and I just never I never thought I would be doing that in a film, and it was really interesting and very liberating in some ways. Also, because of how bold the use of the score is in the film, you know, I mean, it's so in your face, right? I mean, it's incredibly in your face. But to circle back to your question, I mean, I think from having done a lot of different genres of films and using different styles of music in my scores, it's always been a very eclectic thing that I've done. But that's what I really love, you know, is being able to kind of go from something as different as Flaming Hot to, you know, to May December. They're very, very far apart, but in the best possible way, you know, and I love having the chance, like an actor would, of like doing different roles, you know, that are very different, and but ultimately I'll amount to like something very satisfying in this kind of multi-genre kind of career that I've had.
No, absolutely. And I mean, even just Dark Waters and May December, sort of seeing the two ends of those, I mean, couldn't be any more different. So I am curious. I mean, when it came to the sort of the beginning of this project and when it was presented to you, I mean, how was it sort of unpackaged for you by director Haynes?
Well, it was he loves the score, obviously, to the film, to The Go-Between. It's a fantastic Michel Legrand score. He's a composer that we both admire, and he was pretty clear he wanted to use it. You know, you never know. Sometimes directors start like that, and then eventually you end up replacing all the music. But in this case, he was playing this on the set. He played it to the actors over and over, and he listened to it over and over. He wrote into the script where he wanted certain pieces to fall. So it was pretty clear that it was going to be an adaptation. And I just it was very unusual. I mean, and there was no sheet music for it. I had to transcribe everything by ear from the original and then adapted and then recorded again to this film. So it was presented as this kind of hybrid adaptation and with some original music. And the truth is that if it was a different director, I hate to say it, a lesser director, I might not have done it, you know. But the thing with Todd is that every movie of his is a reinvention of the language of cinema. Like you said, Dark Waters to this very far, you know. And before that, you know, if you think of Carol and if you think of Far From Heaven and if you think of the Velvet Underground documentary, I mean, he really is looking to, a lot of people talk about not repeating themselves, but Todd really, you know, he's truly that artist that is like, he's not interested in doing something again, whether it's successful or not. You know, I'm sure after Carol, he could have done many more movies like Carol, and he just pivoted immediately to something different. And so for me, it's, I am a musician, but I think I'm a filmmaker first in the sense that I want to be contribute to a movie, whatever it needs. And in this case, it was a real kind of like a real, there was a lot of, you know, you had to come in with a certain humility to it because it was not even my music, a lot of it. And in some composers might say, oh, I don't want to do that. And but with Todd, I felt like he was so fresh, and he's so fresh in how he deals with it. I told him, we break every rule in this within the first few minutes of this film. We break every convention of film scoring that there is. And in a sense, I think having a pre-existing music allowed us to go even further with that kind of how radically in your face the music is and how like it's jolting you and kind of out of your seat, you know, when Julianne opens the refrigerator, it's like, you know, we're gonna be out of, you know, we're gonna run out of hot dogs. It's very few people would do that. You know, it's something that people will not use music in that way. And so I really love the opportunity to do something that is truly different and truly new, including the fact that a lot of the music was an adaptation. If that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, just the entire film twists the genre itself. So, I mean, everything from the cinematography to the editing to the score, I mean, all sort of has to match that. And it is just so fascinating to see it so fresh in that way, because it could be that sort of stay, like you said, sort of with a lesser director, something that's stale and kind of just not as fresh and original. But like you said, it's so omnipresent and so in your face that it's just it's hard to imagine it in any other way. And I'm just curious for you, in regards to when it came to the characters, obviously, yes, there is the adaptation, but I'm curious what the journey was like for you when it came to scoring this, in regards to just character development and how you saw things sort of transition over time from beginning to end.
Well, in a way, what's interesting about this score is that the music doesn't deal with individual characters. The music presents itself very forcefully right in the beginning, and it stays in its lane, and it almost kind of like it does the opposite of what most of the time film music does, which is to kind of lure you in into the film and kind of seduce you almost. That's, I feel, a lot of scores, that's what it does. It kind of like hypnotizes, and this one, it jolts you out. And in a weird way, it's almost like it's designed to, in a certain way, break the spell of the film. And kind of it's kind of like that super bottom bottom, you're kind of, whoa, what's going on? And as opposed to something very subtle that just kind of gently brings you in. And we tried that approach too, but the film, it was a very unusual, I think, even for Todd. I mean, what this film, I feel like films are all living things, you know, they have things that they want, they need. And great directors like Todd Haynes will chase those things, as opposed to just say, no, this is a biopic of a controversial subject. What are the things we need to do? And this was one of the best descriptions I heard, was somebody saying that they felt in some ways they were more confused about the characters by the end of the film than they were at the beginning. At the beginning, you kind of feel like you know who they are, and in the end, you're like, wait, they're not who you think that they were at all, you know? And I think Todd allows for this complexity in the characters that I love, which is much more like real life ultimately. And I think that is, I think, one of the keys of the success of this film, is that we are not archetypes, none of us. You know, we all have shades of gray, and we are all different things at different times. And I think that the music, in a way, adds to the confusion, you know, I mean, of what's behind it. And I think it also says a lot about art and about commitment to art and what it means to live the way you want. And but the music kind of, it's almost its own story parallel to the film in a weird way. And I think the fact that it was pre-existing allowed it for it to be even more so like that, where it's walking this track. And that's how Todd described it to me. He wanted the music to kind of have its own path, like parallel to the film, and constantly kind of take you out of thinking that you know what's happening, and kind of just be immersed in the complexity of these characters. I think when Julianne is giving the lecture to the kids in high school, and she says, you know, like the more complex characters are the most interesting to play. And I feel like as a whole, this film abides by that rule. I think everybody's very complicated, and you don't really know And in the end, in that final face-off between Julianne and Natalie, you know, when she says, you know, I'm secure, make sure you put that in there. Even that is like, it's not what you think somebody's gonna say. And when she's finally in the real end, in the epilogue of the film, trying to embody that character and kind of getting lost in it, there was a lot of with Todd as well, where he's really making very strong references to other films. I think Persona was a big one. You know, a lot of this film is inspired by Bergman and the idea of two characters kind of losing each other. You know, on Persona, you had the nurse kind of become sort of lost in who she was, you know, when she's treating this actress who won't speak. And so with Todd, I also think that he's having a conversation with cinema when he's doing these things, and they are this his films are really a conversation. You know, and with there are a few directors. Scorsese is another one that famously does that, but Todd is very committed, and he really, you know, he had a very clear plan of what he wanted, what the influences were, and he shares with all of us a lookbook, but also, you know, films to watch, pieces of music to listen, photographs to look at. That kind of is a conversation with the art world at large, if you will.
I love that. And I love the way you sort of alluded to the conversation with cinema. I think that it's beautiful. And I mean, just in our final few minutes, I'm curious what you take away from this project that you might just sort of add to your own tool belt per se. And then, I mean, what do you hope that audiences take away from the film once it becomes more widely seen? Upon its release.
I hope that people can see past the surface. You know, I mean, of course, when it plays at New York Film Festival and to people like yourself who are, you know, at the most sophisticated possible audience, I think the audience is seeing what's behind these characters, right? I hope that people can see behind the characters or don't get lost on the fact, oh, is this a good versus evil story? She's a bad woman because she did this thing, and is Natalie a good, you know, that they can go beyond that, because I feel like that's not the film. I think without being, it's anything but, you know, it's a very brave film, but it's also it's not romanticizing what Gracie did, Julianne Moore's character did, but it's also not being the judge, it's not judging it either, and it's simply letting us come to our own conclusions and trying to understand what, you know, how complex people can be. But as I said, I mean, I think in some ways, when I try to put in a nutshell what this film is about, it's very difficult, you know, because there is definitely a gray zone morality thing that is happening. And at first, I think we're led to believe that the amoral part of the story is Gracie, but eventually you realize that Elizabeth, Natalie Portman, is also kind of, you know, maybe really getting in sort of confused about where her compass is. But that's the wonderful thing about this, and that's why I think this film, more than most films that I've worked on, I feel like it really resembles life, you know, the complexity of life, you know. So I hope that people can just see that and not simply say, oh, it's a film about, you know, a woman who molested a child when she, you know what I mean. It's unfortunately, I think when it becomes widely available, there will be people that will look at it from that point of view, which is the least interesting and the least, I don't think that's what Todd was setting out to do. He was using, I think, that tableau as a metaphor for something much bigger and much more complicated.
Absolutely. I think the scene that you bring up, and just in regards to the when she's talking to the classroom and she's the complex characters are the best characters. I think the complex people in life are probably the best people in life. So probably be better to pay attention to those people than I'm not saying lesser complex people, but they're more interesting in that aspect. So I completely agree with you in regards to the complexity of, I mean, we need more complex films, we need more complex characters. So it's great to have this sort of in tandem with that and in dialogue with that sort of idea.
Absolutely, and complex relationships between people. You know, I mean, I think as I think Todd would say that this probably Bergman looms the strongest in this one. And I think, you know, one of the things with Bergman is his portrayal of female relationships. It's probably second to none, I would say. You know, I mean, it's so incredible. And I what I really love in the end, and that's where I think Todd shines, is this female complex female characters and really, really nuanced and complicated emotions and relationships. And I really love that about this film. And I love how they are circling each other and admiring each other around the setup of an actor learning about a role. But ultimately, there's also kind of a weird, almost like mother and daughter thing that happens with them, that the older woman, the younger woman. And I think also even the casting is so brilliant, you know, that you cast Julianne Moore in that role, one of the great actors of all time. I think we can all say that. And I think Natalie was very interested in that, in being, you know, in having a chance to work with Julianne Moore, even for a big star like Natalie Portman, is great. And I think that really the casting itself, I think, influences the role. You know what I mean? Like just who they are outside of the film, that in itself is already so brilliant that, you know, the rest kind of flows.
I mean, who doesn't want to study Julianne Moore, even if it's
Exactly.
in character or with it out of character? So no, I completely understand what you're saying there. Thank you for tuning into this episode. This podcast was hosted and produced by yours truly, Jackson Vickery, but a very special thank you to Sterling Gavinsky for the theme music and to Carly Haney for the artwork. We will see you next time.